everybody that picks on me. And was it a month and a half ago? You said, this is my Sunday. I've actually probably prepped this sermon for 12 years and finally lived through some of it to have the rest. And I went to sleep last night, and I woke up, and guess what? I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do it at all. I told my wife, and she's like, what do you think that is? You think because your buddies are coming? I'm like, no, I just don't want to do it. Guess what I'm talking about today? Jonah. Would it fit? Well, I think the Lord's got a sense of humor. And I'm up here at the altar, and I was got this big message that's going to be called the Jonah Experience. But I want to call it the Great Reset. He kind of like changed it while I was up here. And I just want to step out of the way and just let Holy Spirit just guide the rest of this. So, Father God, I just I give myself to you right now. Every word that comes out of my mouth, I just want it to glorify you and to edify and build up your body. In Jesus' name. It's been an experience. Seems like every time I get up here, I say this too. I'm coming out of a storm, going in a storm. Jonah's, when we say Jonah, what do you guys think? A whale. Let's not talk much about the whale today or the fish. Because it's not really about the fish. There's a deeper message in it. And I think when I first started coming to this church and growth, we started about the same time I came to this church, we started a Tuesday night group. And I love Jesus. I mean, and the growth you feel and the support you get from youth, my wife, people. How many people have I been to your house for dinner? All right? How many of you been to mine? Yeah. Yeah. They brought dinner over. I apologize. We should be more out there, but we have a dog that would hurt you. He'd probably lick you to death. We don't invite people over much, mainly because we have a fur child. But we need to get out and do that more. So I wanted to say I'm sorry. We need to have dinner more. Been out to dinner. How many people have we been out to dinner with? Need to do that more. On me. In the last 6-7 months, I took a huge pay cut, just so you know. And very much a lot happier. Went through this experience. I didn't even want to talk about this, but I'm going to. Most of you know I was up here 2 years ago talking about how I was going to be the next president of the company I was with. Well, that's no longer going to happen. Got fired and went through this 48-hour window of being really ticked off, and then I gave it to the Lord. Somebody calls and said, won't you pray, Zach? Let's pray for these people. Let's walk through this. Jim, Sonny, just worship. That stuff works. Isn't it amazing how it just works when you step out of yourself and let him do what he's supposed to do? And this scripture, what's your sign? Take a drink. Yeah. Will you open it for me? Let's start with Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. I have been calling on him for 3 or 4 years to know what are these hidden things, what are these deeper things. And when he shows up and starts showing you those, you still have the obligation to, well, search him out, right? Get more revelation from it. And then he's preparing you for something you don't even know you're getting ready to go through, and gives you a scripture. I wrote this down a long time ago. I spent a good amount of a year in the book of James. And so James 1:2-6, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. What's steadfastness mean? Anybody know? It's unwavering love. That's how much he loves us. You can't do anything. You can't out-sin him. You can't out-sin his love. He still loves you. And we get stuck in all these roots, hatred and everything else. And it says, and let the steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So I read that. What am I lacking, Lord? What am I lacking? Compassion. You get so busy, caught up in life and in a world, in a job, and I didn't have very much compassion. I didn't care. But you portrayed to be, if you were in my circle, I really cared. I loved you. If you weren't in my circle, I just sat back and like, whatever. And so I asked the Lord, what do I lack? And that's what he told me, compassion. So when you get done with what I'm doing today, compassion is pretty much sums up Jonah. So I want to show this video, and I chickened out about showing another one because everybody has something that touches their heart. And usually when they have soldiers coming home and kids run up and saying daddy or mommy, makes me bawl, and I didn't want to sit up here like a crying baby. So the Lord led me to this one, so let's take a minute.
Sun and moon to you, and if you share with your heart, yeah, you give with your heart what you share with the world is what it keeps of you.
You guys get out of that? Did you get compassion? People are always watching, and one little act of kindness creates another, then another, and then another. Isn't it awesome when we love our neighbors? And I've been walking around for years, months, and why are people so angry? Why are they so angry? I've had to dig deep, find out what I lack, find out why I'm angry, or do whatever I need to do, get on my face. Getting fired was such a blessing. I mean, I get to spend Fridays on my face for 3 to 4 hours in worship. I mean, isn't that awesome? I get to love Jesus in my home, and my dog runs up to me and licks tears off your face and wanting to know what's going on. Are you okay? Another one will fall. And then the Lord will remind you, nothing falls without him storing it in a jar. So it had purpose, but it was tears of just joy and happiness. I mean, I found myself again. I felt like I'm not locked up in some prison, and I'm free. Isn't that awesome? I got to be angry, but now you get to work at a prison where people are angry. But guess what you get to do? You get to shed the light. And been preparing for a class for 2 months, finally started it this past Monday, 4 days a week. Guess how many days I'm not allowed to talk about politics or religion unless they bring it up, right? Guess how many days I got to talk about Jesus? 4, because they brought it up. And that's just awesome. I get paid to love Jesus at work and teach something that I did for 30 years, and it's easy. So that video, you say compassion. What did you agree? Or just loving your neighbor? Turn with me to Psalms 24, 1 through 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Remember that part. So everything, everybody, no matter what nation, we didn't talk at all, right, Lance? So what you opened up with, we had no discussion. Okay, just how the Spirit works. He loves everybody. The breath of God, remember when you posted this? And I think it goes around and gets contagious about once a year. What is it? Yahweh. Yeah. Everybody has the breath of God, right? Everybody. So why are we so angry? It's all his creation. There's people that spread hate. There's people that we just don't want to be around. And there's some people you just can't be around. Okay? I mean, that's part of life. But I wanted to know why people are so angry. So turn with me to Jonah. Go ahead and park there. We'll be there for most of this, and then we'll flip back through some others. Jonah 1:1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son, and I'm terrible with pronouncing names, Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me. And I know, reading through Scripture, where did that name Amittai, where have I read that before? So, of course, I had to Google it because I don't remember where I read it. But 2 Kings 14:25. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the son of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. So way back in 2 Kings, Jonah prophesied to Jeroboam the second, who did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of his father, who made Israel sin. He did restore the border of Israel, which he spoke, because God spoke it through the prophet, his son, and that was Jonah. So Jonah, digging through all this, means dove. His name means dove. His father's name, Amittai, means son of truth. So means the son of truth. So dove, the son of truth. So Jeroboam was a wicked king that Jonah prophesied to. But back to, just to give a little background, that's where Jonah was at. Jonah was comfortable, for the most part, spreading the word of God when I could talk about God's attributes and I was in a safe crowd, right? I could come to Zach's house, we could talk about Jesus. I'd go to Sonny's house, we could talk about Jesus. Go to Lance's house, I could probably talk about Jesus. I've been to Mark and Carrie's, we talked about Jesus. Tuesday nights, what do? Besides pick on me. We talk about Jesus. Then we're comfortable settings, right? What happens when he calls you to go somewhere uncomfortable? Because we are all called to do that. So Nineveh, the great city, it's the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and they were enemies of Israel. They did all kinds of evil. They were ruled by terror. They expanded by cruelty. They cut arms and legs off of people. They buried people in the sand with just their head out, took their tongue, tied it off, and let them sit there and suffer, where they pretty much go insane. They probably raped, killed kids, burnt people alive. So Jonah's supposed to go to this place, and it's almost like modern day, like sending a Jewish person to go to Nazi Germany. If we could put anything like that. It's Jonah wants, here, go to Nazi Germany and speak about your God, knowing he's going to die. What would you do? You would run. Let's be honest, we're all Jonah, right? We would run as far away as we could. And Tarshish, according to some people who have biblical scholars, was the furthest city away, as far as he could get away from running, from being obedient in God's presence. And we all know what happened, so I have a few questions. Would you run? Answer this to yourself. Where's your Tarshish? Or do you even have a Tarshish? So why is Jonah running? To me, to be honest, sometimes when the Lord would give you something to do, I want to be more comfortable. That don't sound like fun and don't sound successful. Kind of like I felt like this morning. This is going to be hard. I'd rather sit in front of TV. I'd rather play Candy Crush. I would probably like to take a nap. I used to use my job. Ain't there no more. I used to use my kids in sports. Not there no more. I don't have excuses anymore to come out and be bold and have courage to tell about Jesus. And we all should get there too. So I'm asking you, what's your Tarshish? Where are you running to? What are you running to? And Jonah knew this in Exodus 34:6. God is a God of mercy, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He knew if God sent him, he was going to free, and they were going to repent, and they were going to get saved. Again, Psalms 24, everybody that has the breath of God is his, all right? He wants nobody to go to hell. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Who are we to judge who gets that? And we all are guilty. Raise your hand if you're not guilty. Picture this. Go ahead and put Psalms 139, 17 through 18 up there. How many like going to the beach? Right? Let's picture 12 by 12 square. Put it down on the ground at the beach and count every piece of sand in that 12 by 12. How long is it going to take you? All right. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. So even in a 12 by 12 section, I'd be done after about five. And just in that, and then a whole beach, and then a sand dune, and then in the ocean, and then all the beaches across the world, you don't have a lifetime to count how much he loves you, how his thoughts are for you, his attributes for you. And we sit there and get stuck in our past. We get stuck on emotions. We get angry. And why? Being angry is a prison. It's a prison with a door standing wide open, and we just sit there in our frustrations, in our madness. And what did Jesus do? He came to set us free. He came to set us free. Then why aren't we free? And I'm going to tell you, we can prove this. You cannot run God. If you get on a boat and you try to run as far away as possible, and then he sends a storm, right? Sometimes the storm's your fault. And I said this the last time I preached, storms reveal foundations. And when you find out you got a rocky sal or rocky foundation or a foundation that doesn't belong, what have we been talking about? Kick it to the side, rebuild it. Rebuild it on the word where it's solid. Sometimes the storm is God trying to speak to you. And sometimes he gets your attention. So we must recognize and confront the storms of life, not run as far away as we can. Because sometimes we need water to grow. Right? There's many people in here who have been water for me to grow. And I do forgive you for picking on me when we're at Tuesdays. Since you're here, I get to pick on you. I have the mic. But I love you guys. And I've learned so much, and I'm thankful just for your guys' friendships, your love. And Daniel reminded me on the way here, they're a forgiving church. So you don't have to, if you suck, you're all right. No pressure. I told myself if I was ever going to do this, I wanted to be raw and real. And I don't know any other way to be. And I do have a filter, and that's called Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of things that don't come out of my mouth that probably, yeah, they shouldn't. So there was a storm probably 5 years, 6 years ago. And how much of us, when we get older, we hit our 40s, we still want to be young 18-year-old, 19-year-old men and go do things to think we're young. And my lovely wife went out and sat in 95-degree heat and watched me play a baseball game for, 3 to 4 hours? That should take two. But a bunch of 40-some-year-olds or 50- or 60-year-olds trying to play a game that they probably have no business playing anymore. I had fun, but I quit after year three. And I've never really told anybody why. I just said it interfered with church. The Lord revealed something to me. Come here, Wes. Anybody knows Wes? He's an umpire. Did I pick on you a lot?
Too much.
Well, Wes wasn't the umpire in question in this little story, but I was up to bat. I played on the worst team in the league. They were the Cardinals. There's something prophetic about that. We were playing the White Sox, and we were actually having a really, really close game. Guy on third, guy on second. I'm up to bat. The bat before, I jacked one to I got a triple, I think. And I'm like, ready, I'm up. You weren't there. It's my story. It's my story. So I'm up to bat, and they change pitchers, and they bring in this guy that I actually know. I coached his kid in ball. And he throws, I'm going to say, it's my story. Remember, he threw 120 miles an hour. Yeah, underhanded. No, it was fast. It was fast pitch. So I swing. I foul one off. I foul another one off. I foul another one off. End up being a 2-2 count, and I'm like, man, we could win this game. We really can win this game. You're my umpire. Ready? This ball is my story. Remember this. Ball comes right here. He's threw me nothing but fastballs. He threw me some chin music, and it was a curveball. It was right here. It was right here, and it curved across the plate, but it's still above the strike zone. Umpire calls me out. I thought of you right away. I looked at him, and a few choice words probably came out of my mouth. But I was angry because that was right here. And I learned something. No.
Right here.
Right there. Right. Thank you, Wes. Give Wes a hand. But I learned something about myself, and it was, this isn't worth it. A game that I have no business playing, not getting paid for. And every drive home, my wife's saying, why do we do this? Because it's 40, you're 45, or and it's 95 degrees out, and I'm burnt.
You paid to play too.
Yes, you did. You did. You paid to play too. Yes. There was no shade. So I didn't want to dwell on being angry over a game that I actually loved. I coached for years, and it just to a point where it wasn't worth it. So I quit because of I didn't want to be angry. I just told everybody I quit because it actually interfered with church. It did. They started putting games at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. I'm like, I'm out. Wasn't worth it. Back to Jonah. Left off at verse 3, chapter 1. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest at the sea, on the sea, and that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid. Each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship in the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and lain down with and was fast asleep. Sometimes storms will screw up your comfort. How could you be sound asleep when you're being disobedient? I mean, how can you do it? There's like 3 or 4 times in my life I remember not sleeping all night. And it was probably because I was angry or mad. And I don't want to speak poorly of them because most of those people aren't here anymore. Not this church, but they're just passed away. Being angry is not worth it. It's not worth it. So they said they hurled cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part and had fallen asleep. So the captain came and said, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, tell us on whose account the evil has come upon. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land, which goes back to Psalms 24, verse 2. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, said to him, what is this you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. How many storms have you have to go through when you're fleeing from his presence? I'm guilty of it. Throughout my whole life, I've ran several times for comfort. I don't want to do that. I know a great mentor of mine from another church. Won't mention any names. He was afraid, or every time the Lord would call upon him to go do something that was honorable, I didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it. But he did it. And there's times where you get called upon and you go do it, but your heart's not in it. So did you have any compassion? Was you successful? Did you get Jesus across to the person, the reason he called you to go do something? Nope, you were angry. And you remained in that anger. And I always question, why? If you get to talk about Jesus, isn't that awesome? We get to do it for eternity, right? Might as well practice down here. So in verse 9, Jonah admitted who he belonged to, and he told him that it was his fault. He had a come to Jesus moment in the Old Testament, and sometimes we need that. We learn this about the unsaved. Sailors reacted, and what did they do? They threw cargo overboard. Sometimes cargo in our life or on our boat could be an idol. I wanted to know what an idol. What's the definition of an idol? You guys make fun of me. I'm doing this a lot today, but I'm not doing this. Okay? The definition of an idol is any person or thing that consumes your thoughts, words, time, energy, or money other than God. So it's any person or thing that consumes your thoughts, words, time, energy, or money other than God. Last year, March-ish, he told me, I want to be the Lord of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. So some of the thoughts I had to throw out because they were idols. I can't have anybody above him. You can't either. That's why we have storms in our life. What is your Tarshish? Because we run to it every time to hide. I told you I got fired. That job, that position became an idol. It became an idol that was going to pull me away from anything ministry. My wife told me it'd probably give me a heart attack, how much stress there was involved, and the blood pressure would probably line up with that. And really, they just showed me, we talked on a Tuesday, or at your house, or Thursday, whatever night we had it. They don't care. They replace you just like that. They don't care. So why should I? It's in the past. And I'm where I think he wants me for now. If it's forever, then it's forever. I just want to be obedient. And I get to talk about Jesus at work now. They pulled that away from me. I didn't get to do that. I would have got fired anyway for talking about the Lord. Now I can just talk about him as much as I want when they open the door. So they threw Jonah overboard, and they got it. They got right with God. So even when you're running, you might be pretending or doing whatever you're doing, or you might be all aboard. Jonah led people to get saved because they seen him get thrown overboard and the storm stopped. Jonah's God must be real. Sometimes we're going to get opportunities to show how real our God is, and he's going to react. And you've seen in that video, people are watching. They're watching every little thing you do, and especially if they know you're a Christian. They're waiting for you to slip up, all right? I'm going to still slip up. Ask my wife, right? You're cute. So the storm reveals others' needs of repentance. It's pretty much summing up the sailors getting saved. It summed up how much stuff they threw overboard and they needed. He's running from the presence, and they wanted his presence. And as soon as they got into that presence, the storm stopped. They threw Jonah overboard. He became an idle threat. And then what happened? Jonah got thrown into the sea. Depending on how you want to read it, he got swallowed up by a great fish. And we'll get to that in a second. Now, how many doubters and unbelievers, when you have stories and you hear something that's ridiculous, can that happen? Can you be swallowed by a whale and live? Really, can you? So I had to Google it. There had to be something, right? So it is possible. April 5th, 2016, 56-year-old Luigi Marquise survived 3 days inside the belly of a whale. The only thing he had was his flashlight. He described it as shivering cold, and the smell was awful. Only thing he did, let me know if this sounds familiar. Only thing he had was prayer and faith that kept him alive until the whale spat him out. Michael Packle, in 2012 from Provincetown, was diving for crabs 45 feet underwater and was swallowed by a whale. How long do you think he was in there?
3 days.
Didn't say. So, he had witnesses, and it spit him out. And I'm like, well, this one guy says 3 days. Okay, I said, is that really, really possible? But God made a divine animal to do serve a purpose. And so I was like, really? I was like, so your doubt and unbelief, you're like, is this? It's in the Bible, so it's got to be true, right? Is it, so it is complete, absolute truth. But if you're swallowed by a whale, if you're really swallowed by a whale, their esophagus is really, really small. You would be crushed instantly. And by the time you got to the throat, stomach acids over 100 degrees, you nurses or doctors or anybody here, your stomach acids in a human beings are over 100 degrees. I can only imagine how much a whale's is or a big fish. It would instantly burn your skin off, right? So if you're in the belly of a whale for 3 days, sometimes you got to die to the flesh. I think something died in Jonah in the flesh. So let's go and finish. Let's start in Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. That reminds me of Jeremiah 33:3. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep and into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet shall I again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head and the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. How many of us only wait for some big problem in our life to call out to the Lord? And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Read that again. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I was with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. I'm like, what did Jonah? Jonah died from disobedience inside the whale. I'm pretty sure he drowned. Because if you go in here, he was in the belly of Sheol, kind of where Jesus went. And in 3 days, I think the Lord brought him back to life and spit him out on dry land. That's my opinion. I don't write my own version because that wouldn't be good. But then he lands in chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. How many times does he give us second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances? Because I'm probably on as mount as that 12 by 12 section of sand. I'm probably on that many chances. That's the Lord we serve. And that's how awesome he is. And I'll probably screw up more probably in the next 24 hours. So when the word's anointed, he's going to give you everything you need to bring it to pass. So Jonah arises, goes to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against its message, and that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all it took. How many words was that? six, seven. Depends on if you count and. Sparked probably one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world. Right? Six-word sermon. All he had to do was be obedient. The Spirit already saturated the land. And boom, 120,000 people came to repentance. 120,000. We can't even go across the street sometimes. I'm speaking to myself. So God relented and they didn't destroy him. How awesome, right? How awesome is that? We should get excited. Right. Do you know 33 AD, 4 months after Jesus' resurrection, guess who went to Nineveh and led them all to Jesus Christ? They're one of the biggest populations today, 5.5 million Christians. Guess who led them? Anybody know? Thomas. Thomas, doubting Thomas, went and got a whole nother nation saved. Now, there's other history, because Nineveh was around for 750 years in power. About 150 years after Jonah, they fell. So Jonah kind of was right that they would turn and do whatever. But there was a greater purpose. Because of Jonah's obedience, finally, they never took the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom, however that ended up being, because they had a heart of repentance and they slowed them down. So sometimes the Lord will send a storm to slow people down and slow the enemy down. They're talking about a great reset right now. And when the enemy speaks something like that that scares us, even though it's scripture, there is a great reset. We all need to get reset. We need to reset where we stand. We need to reset who we are, because Jonah stood up and said, I'm a Hebrew. I am God's child, pretty much. I have God's breath in me, and so does everybody outside that door. I need to start looking at it that way in love, because it's all about love. Here's a part I was telling my buddy Scott yesterday. I went home and read and read and read and read and read and read. Tried to get everybody's notes on this. This is where I think Daniel took a picture of me trying to figure something out. Jonah chapter 4. I wish they would have never put it in here. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord is not what, Lord is not what I said when I was yet in my country. This is why I made haste to flee Tarshish. So Jonah, I wish I had some sunglasses, went back up the hill, sat down, built himself a lean-to in the shade. He's kicked back. He's waiting for them to screw up. How often do we do that? We do that all the time. I mean, we really sit back. Told you, he's going to screw up. I talk about my own kids that way. I just can't wait. He's going to call, and I won't speak of whose name. But we do that. We just wait for people to screw up, and then we're like, told you so. And that's kind of what I get Jonah was doing. And then the Lord spoiled him for a day, brought this big thing and grew over his head, gave him some shade. So in today's time, when the Lord gave you some air conditioning, and then you probably got up, watered that plant, talked to it, because it doesn't say how long he was up on that hill. Well, it says 40 days, but we don't know when the plant rose up. Could have been 15 days in, 20 days in. If you're not talking to anybody, you start talking to whatever's around, right? So he probably spoiled that. That plant in 24 hours became an idol, right? The Lord took it away, and then he's still mad. Why is he so angry? He just led, in six words, one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world. Can that happen? I wish Billy was here. Who else is a big person who studies all the revivals and knows the big? There was one in 1857 in New York, 1 million people. It happened in a day. It can happen. And it happened, not only in scripture, but in real life. Now that's Jonah being mad. Can you imagine being at a Billy Graham, filling up a stadium, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are coming to give their life to Christ, and Billy just stands up on stage. No, don't come down here. That's what Jonah's pretty much doing, right? And I'm like, that's ugly. And that's what sometimes what we do. We don't think some people deserve certain things. It's not. It's why? Why are you so angry? Who made you judge, jury, and executioner? And not to speak harsh, but I'm talking to myself. So God let that plant grow, and Jonah made it an idol, and then God took it away. So I've been asking the Lord to take every idol, point them out, and then start taking them away. Because all God has is ever wanted was for us to believe in him and what he's done for us, right? It's all he's ever wanted. And I know week after week after week, everybody here is saved, right? Is there anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ? How do you preach to a church and you get an opportunity, you want to have this big altar call and all this other stuff? We still have struggles, right? I mean, not to look at anybody straight in the eye, but I know I've talked to some of you personally. We all have struggles, and we don't give them to them. We keep picking them back up. But the greatest thing, I think, turn with me to Matthew 12, 38 through 42. This is where Jonah led me over the course of time. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "And an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was there 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the end of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. He lives inside of us." We all just said we're saved. He lives inside of us. We have something greater than what happened there. And now turn with me to Luke 11:30. "For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." By a show of hands, how many of you love Jesus? How many of you publicly can confess, "I love Jesus"? I mean, it's just, I got to do it for work and get paid for it now. It's just awesome. So a while back, we were having a dinner. Luke, I'm calling you out. We talked about Jonah. You don't have to come up here. You gave me a couple ideas by just sitting there. We talked about Jonah, didn't we? Yeah, so thank you. And the fact is, I already said this, that everyone with breath is loved by the Lord, and he gave us a purpose. He gave us a purpose. Matthew 28. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So it says, go, obey, make disciples of all nations. So what's that mean? It says build authentic relationships. Build authentic relationships. I have the privilege, me and my wife and Shauna, have the privilege to get to know 18 to 26-year-olds. We're going to get close, right? Larry, you're going to be my best friend. I'm prophesying here. Ryan, you're going to be my best friend. We're going to get close. We're going to teach you the ways of this and answer every question you had. And if we don't know, we'll go to Sonny or Lance or Zach. I want to build authentic relationships. You have to make intentional investments in people. And you have to adopt the salvation component. He wants nobody to go to hell. We have to have compassion. And that sums up the whole story of Jonah in one word, compassion. So go back to the beginning of this. Lord, what do I lack? What do I lack? I lacked compassion. Now he sends me where it's every day. I feel sorry for people. I don't want to know what they did. I have access to look at that information, but I don't want to know what they did because I would judge them. To me, they're human beings and they're equals. And I told that from day one, and I got respect, and now I can open up and talk about the Lord. That's hope. That's so awesome. And it just is awesome. I want to invite the worship team back up. I got a little experiment. So I want you guys to look around the room when I start asking some of these questions. I want you to be completely honest. And when I ask some of these questions, I want you to raise your hand. We truly do put people in boxes. Would everybody agree? Okay. We draw lines around them. We create sides. And there is us, and then there's them. And then we feel those who we feel comfortable around and those who we don't. How many people have I been to your house to have dinner? I felt comfortable around you. The other ones, you just haven't invited me. That's good. That's good stuff. I'm just being prophetic right there. I'm going to get some free dinners. There are some of us with many, 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 many chapters, and then there's people in our youth. Their stories are just beginning. They're just beginning. They're watching you. They're learning from you. Be good. Do the right things. There's the well-to-do, and then there's those that are doing just what they can. I think I've lived both of those. There are those that we share something with. Tuesday night group, we share. I won't spread anything because it stays there. And there's those who don't seem to share anything with anyone. So I'm going to ask you some really personal questions and be honest and raise your hand. Look around. If this was you or is you, just be completely truthful. Was anybody in here the class clown? Right? Who is never on time? And we do watch when people walk through. So who is never on time? Who here has a tattoo? Who feels lonely? We're being honest. Who's ever been bullied? How many of you have ever been the bully? Here's a good one. Who here, and I warn you, husbands, your hands go up here. Who here is madly in love? Who has overcome great adversity? Has your team, whether you coached it, played on it, or it's your professional team, has ever won the championship? How'd that make you feel? Victory, victorious, and it's just a sport. Anyone here beat cancer? Praise God. How many of you here were created in the image of God? Look around. Look around. So as the worship team gets ready to play, let's all, as one body, come up here. Unified in mercy and grace. Come around. They're going to play one song. Let's just all come up here. We had a fire tunnel a long, long time ago. That's not what I'm trying to start here. And he showed unity. So if we come up here and just unify with one song, he's going to show us his steadfast love. Let's do that.